Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
If you have your Bibles with you, you can turn to Luke chapter 2. If you have our Cornerstone app, you can go to sermon notes. If you're following online, hopefully you either have the app or a Bible in front of you. I talked about finances with our benevolence fund and our church tithal income. But when I speak with couples getting married, one of the things that I talk to them about is finances. Because finances can be such a pressure and such a stress on any relationship. And I recommend to the couple getting married to have an emergency fund. And I will follow that up pretty quickly with this phrase: Christmas is not an emergency. We'll say it comes every year. In fact, it has for about 2,000 years or so. Christmas is not an emergency for me, for my family, for Audrey and myself. We start saving for Christmas the first Friday in January. And I tell the couples this. So we have an automatic withdrawal that goes out of our checking account to another account that we call Christmas. And every Friday, a very small amount goes from our checking account into the Christmas account. And do you know, by the end of the year, if you put $10 away every Friday, you'll have $520. If you double that, if you have $20, if you're able to do that, you're over $1,000 by the time the year end comes. It's really difficult to not spend that if there is a need, but we don't touch that. We also, with our superstore, which primarily that's where we get groceries, I get no commission for saying that. We starting in January, we start saving up our points. So we cash it in for extra items or food items that we purchase in December. And I explain that to them because I say Christmas is not an emergency. It happens every year, and so you need to plan for it. And there are other things that are not emergencies. Sometimes things happen with the car that are out of the norm, but car maintenance isn't an emergency. If you have a car, you have to maintain it. I will just talk about what's not an emergency, even though you need an emergency fund. I heard this year, I read the report just this past week. It was dated October 21st. October 21st, the report came out that 28% of people surveyed who use credit cards, 28% of people who use credit cards, 28% of the people surveyed on October 21st were still paying off last year's Christmas presents. So just over a quarter, on the way to a third of the people, were still paying off on their credit cards things that they purchased that probably other people didn't need. And coupled with that report I heard on the radio, that Christmas is not necessarily the happiest time for many people, and the ad was an awareness ad, and it had to do with the Christmas that people need to focus on managing. It was three things: managing expectations, anxiety, and mental health. And this was the ad on the radio: people need to manage expectations, anxiety, and mental health. And I thought, how in the world did we get here? That those are the things we need to manage, the stresses that we have. It reminds me of a lady who was getting ready for Christmas Day. So much to do, and she was cleaning the house, having it all ready, because she had a lot of people coming over, a lot of friends, and she'd been in the kitchen all day. She sat down, finally, after serving appetizers, finally, she sat down at the table, realized she still had her apron on, got up from the table, took that off, came back, sat down with a smile on her face, and the husband said to their little daughter, How about you pray? And the little girl said, Daddy, I don't know what to pray. And he said, it's good. Just pray like Mommy does. She said, oh, okay. Dear God, why did I invite all these people for dinner? I think the question that I am asked most often, I don't know if you are as well, but in this season, the most often I'm asked, are you ready for Christmas? You ready for Christmas? I was getting my blood drawn this week, and the person doing that as we're talking, she said, well, are you ready for Christmas? Later in that day, I had a different medical appointment, and as I was there, the person said, well, are you ready for Christmas? And we get that question often, are you ready for Christmas? The problem with that question is the problem with that question, because I don't think it means are you ready for Christmas. It means are you ready for Christmas Day? Are you ready for the day? And I don't know how you interpret that question or how you answer that. I think a lot of people, are you ready for Christmas Day? There's a list, whether it's an actual checklist or it's a mental one. Okay, I bought presents, I've got the day prepared, I've got food, I've got whatever the things might be. For some reason, it can become such a big stress because of what needs to happen or what isn't going to happen this year and the sadness about that. Expectations turn into disappointments. I didn't get everything done. I'm missing out on this. I'm missing out compared to what other people are experiencing on Christmas Day. For some of us here in this room, we are very aware that we are missing loved ones who are not going to be with us. They've gone to be with Jesus. For others, we are missing people because of broken relationship and they're not going to be with us. And if that happens enough times, it seems like with our expectations, if it happens enough times, Christmas becomes not something to enjoy, but something to endure. And I don't know what your Christmas Day will look like. I don't know if it's going to even work out how you have planned, for good or for bad. But I don't want you to miss the moments of the Christmas miracle, the moment of the miracle of Christmas, the moment we're going to look at Luke chapter 2. So I'd like to encourage you not only to either endure Christmas or enjoy Christmas, but to embrace the moment of the miracle of Christmas. And the challenge is there may be some things, you know, when we're embracing something, we may have to let go of a few things. Our hands being open, our lives having some space and room to embrace what I'm going to invite you to embrace about the moment, the miracle of Christmas. We may need to make a little more room in the end. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, here we go, verse 1. It came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. And this census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Verse 4 says, Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling cloths, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country, shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And we're going to stop right there. It's not typically the place where we stop in regards to the paragraphs or the sections. It's one verse too far. But that's intentional, because I want you to see this morning the space between verse 7 and verse 8. In a moment, we're going to pause and talk about that. But the space that's located there. Embracing the miracle, the moment of Christmas, one of the hardest things in all the world, I think, to do is to live actually in the present, to live in the here and now, to live in this moment, not to be focused on the future, not to be focused on the past, either anticipating or regretting or wishing, but being present right now, right here in this moment, not considering what things need to look like, or being sad if they're not going to look like, but right here, this is the moment we have. This is the only moment that we have right now. Embracing the miracle of the moment of Christmas. You know, the very first Christmas didn't have a turkey, unless it was wandering around the stable. The very first Christmas didn't have a decorated tree. It didn't have a Christmas Eve service. The first Christmas didn't involve being surrounded by friends and family. The first Christmas was a very busy scene in Bethlehem, and quite frankly, didn't have room for Jesus. This was a bad time to have a baby. But the first Christmas did have a miracle to embrace. The moment the Savior was born. And it's this space in between verse 7 and verse 8 that I'd like to just draw your attention. If the app won't really show it, your Bible may or may not show it, but it's a space, this transition between verse 7 and verse 8. See, Luke takes us to the place where Mary has taken baby Jesus, wrapped him in swaddling cloths, laid him in a manger. We have this moment. And then he pans out for us in verse 8. We leave that moment and he pans out and takes us to a field with shepherds. And that's this transition moment. But I'm just so very interested in what happened in between those two verses. We've got a very exhausted Mary. We've got a very exhausted Joseph. We've got, at least the song will tell us, a sleeping baby Jesus. No crying he makes. That's not scriptural. No. We don't know. We can assume in the stable there was no bed. Maybe no chair. Like this whole scene unfolds. This isn't a delivery room. This isn't a comfortable scene. We don't know. How cold was it? Didn't have a fire in there. Is there warmth close by somehow, some way? The moment of the miracle. For Mary and Joseph, they didn't know that. There's no indication that they knew that a star had appeared and angels were appearing. They didn't know that shepherds were on their way. They didn't know that wise men a very far way away were making travel arrangements. They didn't know that here in Bethlehem would be temporary, short stop, before they would have to flee to Egypt. They didn't know what the future held. They couldn't even compare this Christmas to last Christmas. They didn't know what the future held, but they did know this, that they held the Savior, that they held the Messiah, they held the Son of God, and they held him in this moment, the miracle moment of Christmas. And so Luke closes the door of that scene, and we don't get to see that door opened again until some grubby shepherds show up. But this quiet moment, can you imagine, can you see, this must have been such a precious moment. The miracle moment of Christmas. It was foretold long ago that a virgin would conceive and bear a son. And they are there in this moment. In the midst of this long journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem, the exhaustion of labor and delivery. Finally, he is here. Mary had heard these words, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son. Shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." He is here now. Eve, your seed will crush the serpent's head. He is here now. Abram, through you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. He is here now. Moses, there will be a prophet that arises like you. He is here now. There is a people in darkness that will see a great light. And on those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has shone. He is here now. The fullness of time had come. He is here. The miracle of the moment He is here. Mary and Joseph do not miss this moment. And Luke closes the door, and we don't get to see. Embrace this moment of the miracle of Christmas. Embrace that. Don't be thinking about the future. Don't be thinking about the past. Embrace this moment. He is here. Don't miss it. Between verses 7 and 8, there is a privacy with a very tired Mary and Joseph as they not only behold, but as they hold the Son of God. Before the shepherds show up in bathrobes, before the wise men show up without a casserole, before all of that, before Herod seeks to kill this child, it's the miracle moment of Christmas. He's here. And they got to embrace him, and they got to embrace this moment. Loved ones, the miracle of Christmas. Can I invite you to embrace the moment? Don't wait until Christmas Day. Are you ready for Christmas? Don't wait until Christmas Day. I don't know what's going to work out or what's not going to work out, or what's going to be the same, what's going to be different. I don't know if you have a lot going on or very little, but I'm hoping that you can find some space between the verses to simply embrace the miracle moment of Christmas that he is here. Last week, I invited you to experience Christmas, not just Christmas about Jesus, but Christmas with Jesus. And the invitation was to not only invite Jesus into our lives, but invite him into our days. In the morning, we say, Lord, here's what my day looks like. I invite you. I welcome you in all these assignments for my day. Then we're aware of his presence throughout the day. And then at the end of the day, we rehearse and review. God, where were you? Thank you for your presence. God, would you forgive me for anywhere where I was off? As we conclude this day and we look forward to tomorrow, I'm inviting you for this week, for the next 7 days, to embrace the miracle moment of Christmas through God's word, the moment that Christ was born. I've got 7 verses for you. If you have the app, they'll be listed there. If you don't have the app, you can go to our website, and under today's sermon, there's a PDF you can click on and get the scriptures. The upload isn't complete. The audio is not there because I'm speaking it right now. It will take till tomorrow to get the audio of the sermon on there, but the scriptures are there already. 7 different passages, reading one a day, starting today. Would you find time and place to simply set aside, however long, some kind of a window to embrace the moment of the miracle of Christmas through God's word, through these verses, and then in between these verses, close the door to every distraction and embrace the miracle. 7 passages that we'll read once a day, embracing the miracle of God sending his Son, the Word becoming flesh, dwelling among us. And then next Sunday, we are going to have an entire morning dedicated to worship and the Word. And so we will sing and we will worship Jesus. And then people are going to read these verses in other languages. We'll have the words on the screen in English. We're going to have God's word declared to us in 7 other languages. What I'm asking you to do is not somehow just only prepare for next Sunday, because that misses living in the moment. I'm asking you throughout this week to take time to embrace the miracle of the moment through God's word, and in between these verses, that you will meet with the Lord and you won't miss the moment. Because not only were Mary and Joseph able to say, he is here, we get to declare, he is here. He is here now. He is still here. By his Spirit, the presence of God is here.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.